This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to another installment of 360 Biz, man. It's a beautiful day. I know I'm happy, and I've been having quite a productive day. I mean, considering that it's month end, it's the last week of the month, the Easters are around the corner, suppliers are ducking, clients are ducking payments, but we are still happy. It's a beautiful day. It's the life of being an entrepreneur. Deboho's not here with us today in studio, but we've got amazing guests with us today, and I'm not riding solo. I've got my ride or die.
Hi.
I was talking to a couple of guys over the weekend, and this lady says, no, this guy's my ride or die, but this guy's like, we haven't even ridden together.
Oh.
You've given an awkward one.
Wow.
So I think befitting of that opening line, it's also part of today's show. I mean, today we're talking about couples and... Mm. I don't know, lovers is corporate, lovers in business, well, couples in business together. And Tseho, hit us with the opening link.
Hi, how's everybody doing? I've had a hectic morning. Hey, I've been shooting, been running around, been driving around. So I'm so glad to be here. We have an exciting show ahead. Today we're talking about business and pleasure.
Yes.
It's a bit of a twist to what we are used to our current affairs news, to our hardcore news. And today we just wanted to spin it and let it be a bit softer, on the softer side. The modern day couples always complain about how they do not have enough time left to spend with each other. Sometimes different work shifts, and if not that, there's always post-work exhaustion. The only time they're left with is the weekend, which always seems to fly along with commitments of their own. These problems lead to the classical issue of maintaining the right work-life balance. The one solution to this modern day crisis is romance, is working with your spouse. Would you do that, Bulelani?
For the longest, I thought I wouldn't. I don't know. I think I would. I think it's the dynamics of the relationship. What I've come to realize is that a lot of my relationships have failed. I don't know if I'm a bad lover. Mm. Well, lost common denominator. I don't know. But I think you ask yourself questions when you look at other couples that seemingly look like power couples that are holding together a loving marriage with kids, but the husband is all over the country or the wife is all over the country. Mm. And one of the key questions I've always asked myself is, how do they do it? You know, is it... And I think, you know, I come also bearing a lot of questions with question marks coming to studio today, because I also suffer from the same thing where I'm asking myself a question. Is it finding someone who's in business or who's an entrepreneur? Is it finding someone who... Or what is it that helps that balance? Because if that individual's life is centered around you and you are not around, then it crashes. But if it's vice versa as well, it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
And if they're too busy, you too busy, how do we complement? So I think I'm coming to studio with comments and then a lot of questions, more than comments, more than anything, because I think it's a platform for us to really, really learn. But I've seen, I mean, I've worked with a couple of clients in my company, and they were couples. And some of them had a great workflow, and some of them was just totally different things. So I'm getting one brief from you. The next day when I meet with coffee, it's something totally different. I think managing that is...
So that is exactly what we're talking about today, because I also have questions, and I think it is challenging, especially when you're an entrepreneur. So how to make this work is, whether it is opening a business together or finding a job in the same company, spouses working together have more time to spend with each other. However, just like everything else, this also has its pros and cons. So in studio today, I'm joined by, we have our first couple, Given and Lerato Mabena, and I'm also joined by Kofi Ofori-Boateng, who is a relationship coach. I will let our guests to introduce themselves. So Kofi, I will just start with you. Just tell our listeners who you are, what you do, and why you're here.
Hey, what's going on? The name's Kofi Ofori-Boateng, author of Notes to My Sister, Let Him Serve You. I'm an author, I'm a relationship counselor, well, actually a life coach more than anything else, a relationship coach, mentor, and speaker. So today I'm just here to, you know, shed my little 2 cents, hopefully add some value, and we'll take it from there.
I'm sure you will. And to our lovely couple today, please introduce yourselves.
You can go first.
Okay, I'm Given. I'm the co-owner of Sokulunga Solutions, and I'm a husband to Lerato.
Okay, my name is Lerato Mabena, and I am obviously a co-owner of Sokulunga Packaging Solutions, and also a procurement manager at another company. I won't mention the name of it. And yeah, that's me.
That is interesting. So you actually work and run a business?
Yes, and it's been a job.
How does that work out?
You know what? It's quite difficult, and it involves a lot of excuses and made-up stories sometimes. But for the most part, I mean, we went into it knowing that it would be a challenge, and it's been okay so far. Mm. Yeah.
So tell us a bit about your company.
Okay, Sokulunga Packaging Solutions is a supplier of packaging products, as the name says. We do paper bags, gift boxes, shipping boxes, protective packaging, anything around packaging for the private and the public sector. And we've been in existence for... well, we registered the company in 2016, but we've been operating since last year. We started as resellers of packaging products and then gradually went into manufacturing middle of 2017. So, yeah.
So, I think my immediate question would be, so you guys are in this board meeting and it gets heated. Do you take it home? How do you manage that? And I know I'm such a passionate person. I take it everywhere with me. So, how do you guys handle that?
Well, okay. To be honest, most times it does also get home as well. Yeah. Because you move from a meeting or from the boardroom or even, you know, amongst the staff, and you're not happy about something. And obviously, well, most times it's actually me. I get home and I'm moody and I just don't want to say anything to, well, anybody, but I just live with him. So anybody's just my husband. So I don't want to say anything to anybody. So it does have times where it trickles into the home as well. Yeah.
Would you find that this is something for everyone?
I wouldn't think so. It's a big challenge. Yeah. It's a big challenge because, to be honest, it has been lately, in fact, to be honest, it has been the one thing that has been making us fight or argue or not even talk to each other. It has been around business decisions and the happenings within the company. Yeah, I think so.
What's your take?
He's so quiet. The woman must deal the talking.
Yeah, I'm busy laughing. Yeah, it does go home. And the most challenging thing is that most of our lives we are together. When we go parties, when we go wherever, funeral, weddings, we're together. At home, we're together. So we cannot avoid talking about business. Now and then we talk about business. And we sleep, it has went to an extent, but we sleep around 1 a.m. When you sleep around 11 p.m., you are happy. And sometimes she brings in work that you think the employees could have done it. And I say, but the reason we have been pushing to get employees was that we should have an offload. And having an offload, you know, you can focus a little bit into our work, because both of us we are working. So when you come back home, you are tired, and being tired, you still need to face during the day in between. You've been dealing with employees, orders, and all that. You know, there's a lot of things going on because the employees can mess up. You know, you tell them this, they do the other, and you ask yourself, how did we get there? Because I said let's do A B, and they just went to Z and Y.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you know, here's my thing, Tsepo. I attended a workshop. It was a business workshop conducted by some gentleman. And obviously I had no grounds to contest or agree with whatever he was saying, but he said something. He said, In business or in this leadership role that you're taking up, guys in the room, find an accountability partner. But make sure that that accountability partner is not your wife. Because if she's your wife, she might slip you that cheese and say, no, baby, but today it's fine. Do you find that, and I think this would, I'd open this up as well to Coffee, to then say, do you think that's entirely true? Or are you able to be in a relationship and your wife is just really, yeah, no, if you said, if this is the plan, it's the plan, and vice versa.
Well, here's the thing. Your wife already is your accountability partner anyways. It just depends on the context and the levels that we're talking about. So within the context of marriage, yes, immediately, she's your accountability partner. Within the context of business, if she's involved in the business, yes, she's your accountability partner. But then, of course, you have other people like mentors, you have your coaches, you have your advisors, your other partners and the like, who you will need to bounce ideas or bounce certain decisions off of as well. So your partner always has the role of accountability partner. That never, ever really changes. The only thing, and I think this is usually the main issue for a lot of relationships, is the amount of honesty and communication and the amount of emotional maturity in the relationship. If both are in an emotionally mature space and both are comfortable with being 100% honest with each other at all times, then that level of accountability will always be a welcome thing for both parties. It will never be an issue of, I'm going to hold back on this information because I'm scared of how it's going to impact on your feelings. You know that all the feedback will be given in an objective manner. It'll be received in an objective manner, clear of any emotional sort of conflicts and interpretations, if you will.
That's interesting because, like you said, Lerato, not everybody can do it. So you talk about maturity, Kofi, and I was actually having a discussion with a friend of mine the other day, and I said, couples who work together can make it work as long as they both matured about it, because I believe there are also challenges, you know, and there's things that you see in the workplace that might affect you, given, and Lerato might be like, no, but it's okay, and you are angry. So how do you, the two of you, how do you guys overcome those challenges in the workplace? And what challenges have you probably had, you know, that really affected your relationship?
Okay, I think I'll go. I think, you know, for the most part, it's also, okay, one of the things that we have had a challenge with, or I'm not sure if it's just on my side or on both ends, it's when it comes to the responsibilities within the company. Because as much as we have our roles within the company, there's still that expectancy that I would have of my husband, even within the company, which of course it will take some time and some boundaries to be made and, you know, things that need to be discussed. But you find that if he drops the ball, it's not just my partner, my business partner, it's also my husband who has dropped the ball on me. And so now when I am upset about it, I'm not just upset as I would be with another person within the company. It's even extended because now my husband has let me down on one issue or another. And another thing that I have found to be a challenge has been defining that wife and husband role, because now there is the co-owners of the company and sometimes you are at loggerheads. And so do I raise my voice or don't I raise my voice? Do I use certain terms I can use with my employees and not with him? So that has been, we've been trying to grapple with that as well. So yeah, that would be for me.
Given?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, when you are a husband, it's easy, not easy inverted commas, because you do magic in your house. You are a provider where there's nothing. You just make it happen, whatever it is. So now, the same thing in the business. Sometimes she would just look at me and I'd be like, but... And the main problem that I think we have encountered, we thought about it today. Yesterday, I think we thought about it as well. it's an everyday thing. And I think She expects me to know what she's thinking.
Yeah, no, women, we have that problem.
And she says to me, did you not go to the workshop and make sure that this and that has been taken to the client? And I'm like, but the last time we spoke about this was they have to finish whatever they have to finish, and you were supposed to let me know. And once you let me know, then I can take some time from work, rush to the workshop. Unfortunately, that's our life every day. You rush from work to workshop and all that. And you feel, as a husband, you feel you have disappointed your wife. I mean, when you look at her when I look at her in that space, sometimes she cries, eh? And I'm like, my God, what did I do? You know? So you don't know, in this case, are you a husband or are you a business partner? You understand?
Yeah.
So
that's actually a good point, because that was going to be my my next question. Sorry about that. Let me just give it to you, Kofi.
Okay.
Because we had the discussion about it.
Mm.
I told you there's a reality show I really like.
Mm-hmm.
Tamar Braxton and Vince.
Yeah.
And what I noticed is, and which was basically the reason why I came up with this idea of having this show, is Tamar Braxton works with Vince, the husband.
Mm-hmm.
They work together for years, 12, 15 years or something like that. And Vince has been the manager, mm-hmm. in their business, and Tamar is the artist.
Mm-hmm.
But in the previous shows or something like that, they've been having challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And these challenges were challenges at, you know, Tamar was saying, when I want him to be a manager, I want him to be a manager. Mm-hmm. But when I want him to be a husband and a father, I want him to play those roles.
Yeah.
But then the biggest challenge was how they strike. They were unable to strike the balance, mm-hmm. between the work and home.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you advise couples to actually strike the balance? Because in cases like Tamar and Braxton, what I saw is it almost led into a divorce,
mm-hmm.
and we wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
So how would you advise they strike the balance?
I'm going to go back to what I was talking about earlier about emotions, emotional maturity, and communication once again. So emotions basically are very subjective things. They are very separate from reasoning and logic and things like that. They arise out of certain circumstances, out of a certain mood, out of a certain situation, and that's what makes them so subjective, and that's sometimes what makes them so dangerous. Now, the key thing here is, when you're emotionally mature, you understand that this is just my feeling on the matter right now. It's not necessarily the facts. It's not necessarily the reality. So once you have that understanding, that already helps to give you some context and helps to make the conversation that much easier. Then the next step would then be communication, because now once you've identified that this is a subjective response to the situation, now objectively you can communicate your concerns, your dislikes, your dissatisfactions. Like you were saying, you aren't sure if you should raise your voice and all that kind of stuff. Here's the thing. As a couple, before you're business partners, before you're husband and wife, let's look at those two just to start with. Business partner, marital partners. The common denominator here is the word partner. You're both partners anyway. So like whether it's in the marriage, it's in the home, it's in the car, it's in the swimming pool, you guys are partners. And you're going to work together like partners at all times. Then, just taking a couple of steps back, you're also individuals. So your space needs to be maintained. Your identity needs to be maintained. I think one of the biggest mistakes we make as couples is we go in looking to merge ourselves and create this shared identity and this new identity. But you are who you are. He is who he is. He accepted you as you were when he married you, and you did the same when you married him. So feel free to be yourself, but at the same time, remember that, you know, as you communicate, you still need to think about him as a human being, as a man, as your husband, as your partner. He's all these things. There's no real distinction between any of these things, because at all times, he's still a human being. He's still a man. He's still male. He still has feelings, and vice versa. So as you establish that level of, you know, maturity, emotional maturity, you can now more easily communicate with each other and let each other know what's really happening. Because now you will find that you would have been growing through the relationship. Nobody comes to this marriage thing a pro. Mm-hmm. Essentially, life is about two main things, and this spills over into our relationships as well. Life is about growth and contribution. So as you grew as an individual, you then reached a point where you were so full of yourself, if you will, that you now needed someone to spill over the excess you to. That's where your partner comes in. So I have all this love within me. Who can I share this love with? Mm. My partner. I'm going to give it to you. All right. So now you've grown, you've contributed. Now that you're in the relationship, the level of growth you were at before you got married is not going to be sufficient for the marriage. So the more you contribute, you're going to find that she's growing from your contributions. You're growing from her contributions, which means now as you grow, the contributions are going to have to grow as well, because the person is not the same at the same level as they were before. So you will grow emotionally. And as you're more honest with each other, this ticks me off. But I understand that if I say it in this way to you, it's not going to work for either one of us. So I'm going to grow and learn how to communicate, maybe honestly, if that's what's needed, or maybe a bit more assertively, if that's what's needed, or a bit more empathetically, if that's what's needed. You both grow, and then you contribute with honest conversations, with accountability, with patience, with listening, and things of that nature as a couple.
Mm. So here's my thing. I understand that.
Yeah.
So in the eventuality that we in this marriage partnership business, and we are at constant loggerheads, would the sensible thing rather be to, I don't know, you resign, man. Because I keep thinking, how do I fire my wife?
Okay. So obviously both parties would have gone, hopefully both parties would have gone into the business with a vision, the same way they went into the marriage with a vision. So what is the vision? Is one person threatening the vision? If one person is threatening the vision, perhaps you both need to revisit, have a conversation about whether this party still needs to be a part of the business or will be better positioned outside of it, maybe in more of a consulting capacity. You can have those kinds of conversations. Or you can then, you know, if as a partner, you can then have that conversation and say, listen, this is where you're needed. This is where you need to grow. This is the contribution I need from you. This is what the business needs from you. Are you willing to step up in this regard or not? One of the major issues we have, whether it's in couples working together or just couples who live together or marry together, is this fear of honesty and this fear to communicate what the real issues are, because we're concerned about how we're going to be perceived, how this person is going to respond. Is the relationship still going to be the same? No, the relationship is not going to be the same. It's not supposed to remain the same. You're both supposed to grow. And you're only going to grow if you're both tested. So you're going to have to constantly sort of push those boundaries a little bit and find out which boundaries are here to stay and which boundaries can be moved a little bit to accommodate the changes within the environment, within the circumstance, within the business, within the marriage, and so on and so forth. It doesn't have to lead to you firing the spouse. But in extreme cases where the spouse is threatening the business and threatening both your reputations and threatening the marriage, then perhaps there's a conversation that needs to be had and an option that needs to be explored.
Huh. What do you think?
I still have so many questions.
I've got a lot of questions. I'm stuck on the firing. I don't know if I'm bossy or a dominatrix. I don't know.
You're a lot like me because I'm like, You want results, and if you're not getting the results that you want, you just want to eliminate the problem right away. But the issue is that sometimes that problem could be an opportunity for the both of you, and an opportunity to grow, and an opportunity to learn new things about each other, about the business, and about how to relate with partners, employees, and so on and so forth. So, you know, firing is not always the first option, because this is a partner. this person is. And remember, some of the decisions you make in the business, like you guys rightfully said, go home with you. Mm-hmm. So you may be thinking, well, it's just business. I'm going to fire her and, you know, we're done. She's thinking, I'll see you at home, bruh. you get what I'm saying? So that needs to be taken into consideration as well. That's going to affect how the both of you, you know, set an example for the kids, set an example for the rest of your family, for your employees even. Our marriages are usually not just for us, they're for other people who are watching as well. Mm-hmm. And if you're taking on that responsibility, you need to be conscious of that as well and make some effort in approaching it from that perspective.
So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to pause on what you just said. I just want to hear, before we move into our next couple, just your thoughts, Lerato and Given.
Okay.
Are you also speechless?
No. What my thoughts are, I'm going to be on the firing. If I get fired, I'm going to talk about me. If I get fired, let there be, she would rather come with another alternative to say, you wanted to pursue this. How about you go on with it? You understand? Because we do not understand each other when we are in business, and this affects our relationship.
Mm.
And like saying, okay, fine, you're no longer in the business and whatnot. Because now, like I said, these things, they go back home.
Mm.
So still, we are not eliminating the problem. Instead, we are actually accelerating the problem. We're putting fire on petrol. So now, because the two of you, when my wife and I met, we didn't meet as business people. Huh. We met as people.
Mm-hmm.
But now, as we started knowing each other, I realized she's interested in business. She's into business. She always goes, she wastes money. Okay, I don't know if that's wasting money.
She's wasting money.
But she always goes to seminars. You know, she knows all the seminars. She knows where they are held, what time. She's always
money.
There. You know? So, but I said, no, let's sit down and talk, because I've been around. I've done networking business. You see, that's where I wasted my time. Okay, I'm sorry for people who are in networking business. But I think that's where, personally, I think that's where I wasted time. And now I tried to do other things. I couldn't do them and whatnot. So now when we were sitting and we're talking, we now come up with ideas and say, this is what we should do. Let's go for it. Mm. This is what we should do. Let's go for it. So now we understand each other. So it puts me at the position or at a point where I can say, Lavi, because you wanted to do this and that, let me help you do it.
Mm.
You understand? You know that you are... Okay, let me personalize it. I know that I am not fully involved, though I am involved. As Kofi said, that you are partners, whether you like it or not.
Mm.
You understand? Even if she fires me or I fire her, but I think she's the one who's going to fire me. So if she fires me, I'm still involved.
Mm.
There's things that I need to know about. So what happened from here to here? Why is there a change? Because obviously whatever happens from the workplace,
yeah,
it will affect in the house.
Mm.
If there's a lot of financial inflow, I need to know what's happening, what's new. If there's money that's missing, I need to know what happened. You understand? So I think the best way would be lead me somewhere, you know? Without you being rude, without you breaking our marriage, just say, sweetie, I know you have an interest in this.
Mm.
I found 1, 2, 3. And you make sure you support there and there. And ultimately, I'll be strong.
Mm.
Life goes on.
I think I'm going to close off with you later on, Lerato, because we need to move to our next couple. But okay. Gift said a mouthful. So thank you so much. Given, sorry. I'm just going to do a quick song and then we will move on to our next couple.
I could do this for eternity.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Man, what a heated show. I don't even think I deserve to be sitting at this table because I've got my own issues, man. But it's a beautiful, I mean, we've got our next couple in studio with us, Mr. and Mrs. Jogiat. MJ Media Group is a professional production company which was established in 2015 by co-directors Jonathan and Merlise Jogiat. They specialize in providing media solutions for individuals and companies alike. Their services include video production, photography, and editing. Man, like, the conversation is just, I don't even know what to say. You know, normally we do shows, I've got a lot of comments and issues, but when you know you got issues, like, you just got to the side. So, you know, the topical, or rather the conversation today that we're having is couples in marriage. And I think our opening question, which is what I'd open with you guys with, is how do you guys handle it? Couples in marriage, yeah. How do you guys handle it? Because, you know, to us who are kind of on the outside, there is a view that it's difficult, and there's a view as well that some people make it easy. There is a view that if there's conflict, you take it home with you. There is a view, you know, there's quite a few views, but there is now your view because you are living the reality.
You know, the thing is, for us, there's no taking it home, number one, because we work from home. So everything is at home. There's no avoiding it. There's kids, there's marriage, there's business, there's whatever. People are in and out of our house all day. But I think marriage comes with its own set of challenges. It's something I posted on social media yesterday, which is so true. And then on top of it, when you add business, I think it just implodes sometimes. But if the whole point, I think, of marriage is, they say opposites attract, and in our business we find exactly the same thing. Jonathan is really good at certain things in our business, and I'm really good at what would be the opposite. So that has just worked out really well for us. So if we have a disagreement, it's never usually something that we can't resolve really fast. I've actually, in the few years we've been doing this, I don't think we've had a challenge where it's gotten to the point where it's like, I'm done with this. The marriage is a different story, but the business has been a little easier to handle, I think, than we anticipated.
What do you mean marriage is a different story?
Marriage in itself is difficult because now you're dealing with core issues. You're dealing with emotions. You're dealing with, like Ophi was saying earlier, you're dealing with so much more family relations with kids. And we have a lot of kids. So, you know, there's a lot more at stake in the marriage. So when you get fed up for the marriage, then it's a whole other story. Now you're arguing. But in the business, I think we've been quite, how can I say, it hasn't been emotionally attached, so it's made it a little bit easier. We've had to deal with it more logically as opposed to an emotional perspective.
And your thoughts, Jonathan?
I think if you look at marriage itself and business, I mean, they are two separate entities. And if you bring it together, you just have to make it work. I mean, if you look at how you run your business, because, see, we as human beings, we always get involved with our emotions. And a lot of times, that's the wrong way of doing things when it comes to the business aspect itself. And for us, we've gone through a lot of challenges where we have worked throughout our marriage. And then we discovered that when I listened to the guys earlier, they were talking about firing and also about his wife going to a lot of workshops and seminars. We're in the exact same boat. Wow. She goes to a lot of those things. And I'm like, and she says to me, come, let's go. I'm like, I would have to go and do this and that, and she's always the one going to those cinemas. So it's always that case where with marriage itself, so we have to work together. There's no other way. We have to work together.
And coffee is a thing. So I'm in this marriage, and so we end up entering into this business and this partnership. How do we prevent the lady or the gent outgrowing the other? Because if I'm deciding, okay, cool, we're running this packaging company, and I'm happy and comfortable with this million rand that we're getting every month, but my wife is like, nah, dude, I'm going to do my MBA. I'm working on this new thing. Obviously, the more info she's taking in, and because of the fact that I'm maybe repelling, or I'm not interested in that, I'm just happy where we are. How do you prevent that? Is it something that's preventable? And how could we inclusively, consistently push each other to, you know, push to the next level, if there's such a thing?
Well, the first answer I would give to that is don't grow complacent. And I think it's telling that both gentlemen talked about both your wives going to the seminars, because with guys, usually it's like, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going for. I'm going to learn as I go. All right. Then with ladies, it's like, okay, fine. I may need a bit more information, and I may need a few more perspectives and so on. There's a reason why we come together as a couple. All these perspectives that she's busy getting are going to add value at some point. Your single-mindedness, your focus is what's going to keep you guys moving forward. But at some point, as you move forward, you don't have to bulldoze through certain challenges. You can simply walk around them, or you can burrow under them, or you can just climb over them, depending on the perspectives that she brings to the table. So I think for us guys, that's one thing we need to, you know, really, really take home when it comes to marriages and when it comes to business. The other aspect of that is, your question again was, I want to be honest with the question.
So the idea is, how do you prevent the one outgrowing the other? Okay. You know?
Prevention. So, now, back in the days, and it still happens now, just not on the scale it used to happen. What used to happen was, you would find a partner who was suited for purpose, or who was suited for who you were and where you wanted to go in life. Nowadays, we're all about love. I want to fall in love with someone. I want to get swept off my feet. I want this person to look this way and all those things. How about what this person brings to your life from a value perspective? I have absolutely no clue what you're talking about, bro.
Sure.
She looks good on my arm. That's all that matters right now. And then a year, 2-3 years down the line, you're like, hey, let's go into business together. But you're not necessarily the most compatible people for each other. So you start butting heads. Now, If we were more honest with ourselves and more honest with our partners going in, and more loving as opposed to fearful, that wouldn't be too much of an issue, because then we would be looking for people who actually suit us, who we can add value to, and vice versa. But once you're in a situation where you weren't entirely honest with yourself about who this person is and who what this person can bring to your life, you're going to find that you sold them a package. They're now moving at a certain pace, thinking that you can handle what they're doing, but you actually can't, because you're not who you said you were. That now creates a whole new set of problems in the relationship, because this person now has to deal with trying to move forward or trying to move upwards, and also deal with the fact that you're not necessarily who you said you were. There's this thing now of a lot of guys complaining about the fact that, no, women are too well-educated, women are too this, women are too that, women are too that. It's not necessarily the case of they're too anything. The greatest thing a man can do is support his woman and lift her up higher so she can shine. That's the greatest thing we can do. If we look at our elders, if we look at our ancestors, if you look at our history, that's generally been what men do. We will go to war to defend the things that our women do at home. In Africa, for example, the markets were run by the women. The farms were run by the women. So life pretty much was handled by women. And the men made sure that life was protected, which is the women was protected. So, you know, if she's out there doing these courses and she's growing, let her grow. Encourage her, support her, push her, motivate her, let her do those things. And then at the same time, if you are committed to the relationship, brace yourself for growth as well. Because as she grows, you must grow. Your level of contribution in her life must also increase as well. And it's not necessarily in the way that you think it is. I think sometimes we get threatened. We're like, if she's doing an MBA, I probably have to go do the same thing too. Not necessarily. Because you bring a different set of values. She wants to come home after the MBA and maybe just have a conversation with you about, this was a rough day. You're like, no, don't worry, baby. You got this. That's all she needed to hear. You know, but it's those little perceptions that I think we need to start changing, so that we can now more effectively serve as men and let our women do what they're supposed to do and come back home to us. And just
Marilise is smiling.
I'm looking at what you're saying exactly. I mean, when we started dating, we had a long-term relationship, right? And we got married afterwards. And then during our marriage, I decided, you know what, we need to start a business. And I said to her, this is what I want to do. And I just put it out there as an idea. She ran with it. She took it and decided, you know what, let's do this. She decided we're going to go from A, she started getting the papers in order, getting all the documents we needed to get for the business, the name we're looking for. She started getting all those information that we needed to get for the business itself. She started doing those things. I mean, for me, I was, and that's why I'm looking at how things are actually supposed to be. I mean, we as men, we almost just say things and we don't think that a woman will just don't listen. From what I've also realized that women are incubators.
Yeah.
They actually give birth to things. So if you look at marriage and you get the kids and then how it also happened, it's women are the one who carries the baby. The man was the one who plants the seed. And the same with the business. The man comes in and plants the seed and the woman carries out what needs to happen. And I think that's what happened in our marriage itself. She just handles those things.
And Marilise, what's your opinion on this?
Well, I think we're very much in agreement there. I mean, for us, it's just, I don't know why it happens, it just does. And I think we watched a video once and I was like, oh, that's actually what's been going on. Because I can tell you exactly when he said he wanted to start the business. He doesn't remember. But and then it was just with me. And I was working for the bank at the time. I hated my job. And a few years later, I was like, you know what? At some point, I'm going to have to resign my job to be able to push the business, and which is what I did. And the business has grown in so much ways, and I remember having a meeting with one of our ministers a few weeks ago, and he was like, you were so involved in what Jonathan's supposed to do, because in his mind, with photography and video, we're supposed to be two separate entities. But I do a lot of what he does now. I've learned his job so that I can fall in when he's not around. He's high in demand now, so if we're training someone somewhere, I have to fly there and go and do that. But I feel like my destiny and my life's purpose is built with whatever is within him. My job is to make sure that that is fulfilled. Whether I have the Lord as a separate plan for me or my life is supposed to go in a different direction, my first and foremost job is to support him, other than being a mother, other than being all these other things.
That's amazing, man.
That is so amazing. I'm so inspired, actually.
So with regards to, how do you guys handle conflict?
I need to answer that.
I laugh at the way Jonathan.
Jonathan is not much of a talker. I think I do all the talking for us. But I think he's very passive, which is a good thing. Because I think I'm very overwhelming. So when I'm upset, it's just all over the place. I am giving you stories to Africa and back, and you know, and he sits very quietly and listens to me. But what I find is the more we are open to one another's conversation, and the more we are willing to just open up ourselves, whether it be about the business or the kids or the house or whatever, at the end of the day, we end up finishing the argument. That is the point of the argument. You can have an argument. You can be upset. You're allowed to be angry. We are people at the end of the day. But you need to be able to finish it and have an end so that you can move on to the next thing. We struggled with that for many years. I think because we were married pretty young. I mean, I was 21. So we never figured ourselves out yet. We never figured out how to handle conflict. All we knew about conflict was what we learned from our parents. Not exactly, you know, the greatest place to learn, because they learned, did what they knew how to do then. So it took us quite a while. I think this year we've been on the best playing field with regards to that than we've ever been, which is fantastic for our kids as well, because they're learning how to manage conflict as well without us getting too involved. But it happens. It has to happen.
Like, I'm speechless. I don't know what to say, man. I'm here just learning, because these are things, I think, learning from people that are already married, for us who are on the outside, become a learning curve. But I think a question I posed during the break, which is what we stand on the sidelines and ask ourselves, is, so you, a couple, some of the guys, so here's my thing, here's the thing that confuses me. So you find very, very wealthy guys, billionaires or whatever the case is, with families. They're very wealthy. They've got families, not all of them. And then you find a young man or a younger couple that is on the a younger gent or a lady that is on the business trajectory, and there's growth, and there's no relationship that sticks. You know, is it because there's no alignment, or is it, you know, is it, it's like what I was asking earlier on. Do I then need to marry another entrepreneur? That, you know, it's sometimes it's a confusing thing, because
it can be.
you meet different girls at different times, at different places for different things, but which one is...
It's like I was saying during the break. It basically boils down to who you are. Who are you? And we were talking earlier about how back in the days, this is how people approached marriage. Well, one of the reasons why people could get married a whole lot younger was because, for the most part, men used to go through a sort of rite of passage. Women did the same thing too. They were taught certain things about womanhood, and they were taught certain things about manhood. So by the time you entered young adulthood, you had that mindset, you had that level of preparedness for responsibility and everything that marriage came with. Now it's not really the case. A lot of us go to school, we graduate, we get our first jobs, and we've not really been taught how to, you know, conduct ourselves within the context of a family. Conduct yourself as a young man in the family. Conduct yourself as a young man who's looking to build a family someday or build a business someday. Many of us learn through trial and error. Mm-hmm. Now, if that's the case, we're going to end up in some very difficult situations, because now you're going to end up maybe choosing the business more because you haven't developed the skill set to manage relationships and a business as well. So it really boils down to that. It also boils down to, once again, honesty with who you are. Who are you really? Some people are not made for marriage. They have no business being in marriage. You know, they're great at what they do in the business world and in the work world, and they should keep doing that. But when it comes to relationships, they're not prepared to do the work. They're not prepared to learn what they need to learn. They're not prepared to make the adjustments that they need to make in order to relate effectively and productively with their partners. So if that's the kind of mindset this person has, then they have no business being in a relationship. And then they end up focusing on the things that they love doing and the things that they're great at. For those who want to get married, you need to understand that you have to go into it with that mindset of, I'm going to have to compromise. I'm going to have to learn how to work with this person. I'm going to have to learn how to communicate, how to be honest, how to submit on both sides. Because I think, once again, the whole submission thing really throws a lot of people out of the loop. This kind of mindset, this kind of attitude, then creates an environment where one person can come in, see you for who you really are, accept you for who you really are, and now make an informed decision on whether they want to proceed with you or not. But it's going to take courage. It's going to take honesty. It's going to take emotional maturity. It's going to take courage.
Hmm. Yeah. We need more time.
Definitely needs way more.
Unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show, but I just want to give, as we wrap up, for 30 seconds, and Lerato, if you can just come closer, just tell us quickly about your business and where can people get hold of you guys.
So our business is called MJ Media Group, which is MJAY Media Group. We are on Facebook, we are on Instagram, and our website is mjmediagroup.com.
Lerato?
Okay, our company, Sokolunga Packaging Solutions, email address info@sokolunga.co.za, www.sokolunga.co.za, 061-440-5917. Those are our contact details.
And Kofi?
Official KOB on Instagram, Kofi Ofori Boateng on Facebook, and Kofi Boateng Live on Twitter. Get at me.
Thank you so much. And that's us. Please join us again next week for another edition of 360 Biz.
360 Biz on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.